May it please the court, Ms. Rohr, Mr. Moore, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, good afternoon. In a few moments, you will retire to the jury room and begin your deliberations in this case. We had a long day yesterday. It's been kind of a long day so far. I appreciate your attention in this case. I've had jurors be not so attentive in other jury trials, so I appreciate the attention that you pay in this case. I know it's been difficult to hear the proof in this case. I started out yesterday in my opening saying at the close of all the proof that I was going to stand back up before you and ask that you find this defendant guilty of two counts of manslaughter in the second degree, because by that time we will have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that she is guilty. We are at that point now. We have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that she wantonly caused the death of her two very young children, the baby boy that was 3 years old and the baby girl that was 7 months old. There's not a whole lot of factual differences in the proof that both sides have submitted. The proof started yesterday by the 911 dispatcher telling you that the call came in at 1:20:58 p.m. You heard from Pam Wilson, the lady that made the 911 call. You heard from Nico and Robert McGee as to what they knew about the case. Robert McGee heard the popping and went across the street to offer assistance, but it was just fully engulfed and there was nothing he could do, unfortunately. Now, Nico McGee told you that she left to go back to work after snapping a text, or snapping a shot and sending a text to her sister at 1:06. There is some discrepancy in how long the defendant was gone from her residence that day. I submit to you that whatever time you think she was gone was too much. Was she gone for 5 minutes? Was she gone for 6 minutes? Was she gone for 15 minutes? Any of it is too long to leave two helpless children unattended. Because as everyone knows, anything can happen. The children of that age are left alone, unattended. And unfortunately, in this case, a fire broke out and they died. And they died because she chose herself over them. They died because she made the conscious decision to get in her car and leave the property and leave her 3-year-old wild child strapped in and her 7-month-old sleeping on the couch and go get herself a Loratad. You saw the surveillance where she appeared at Dave Gray's residence to get that Loratad. You saw how long she was there. She didn't just pull right in and pull right out. She sat there and she talked to him all while her babies were burning. When she gets back home, the house is on fire. I don't know if she went in the house to try to save the kids or not. She says she did. No other witnesses except her friend noticed any singeing, any smell, or anything on her clothes. She obviously had a burn to her arm and to her left hand, which could have been caused by trying to open the door. Whether she went in or whether she didn't, that's not the decision you have to make. The decision you have to make is whether she wantonly caused the death of her two children by leaving them there alone. And she did. And that's the only decision that you have to make in this case. You heard testimony from law enforcement as they started to arrive. You heard from Trooper Gordon. Defense counsel didn't like his characterization of the defendant's demeanor. That's what he observed, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. So that's what he told me. He called Detective Hamby because he was advised that there were going to be some deceased people in the residence. Detective Hamby arrives on scene, and he told you what the initial statement from the defendant was. And we all know by this point that she lied. She didn't tell the truth. She didn't tell the truth because she knew she was going to be in trouble because she had left her two helpless children there. And it caused their death. And that's what this case is about. So, after investigation and after it's determined that she wasn't at the house when the house fire started, that she had left the children there alone, Detective Hamby goes back to her and talks to her again. And you heard that interview. And how does that interview start? With her lying again. Because she knew she was going to be in trouble for leaving her kids and going to get a warrant. She tells him, well, we went to my stepdad's house, came back, take the kids in, I come back out to my car, go back in, boom, there's a fire. She only tells the truth when she's confronted with the evidence against her. And then she admits that she did, in fact, leave those helpless little babies in that house. And they burn up while she was getting a war tap. Yesterday, Sergeant Hamby was asked questions about, well, how long did the investigation take? The insinuation was that there should have been some more investigation before she was charged. This case is about her leaving the kids alone and then dying in that fire. There was no rush to judgment here. He charged her with what she did. You also heard from the fire marshal. He told you that the cause of the fire is undetermined. And that's unfortunate. I think everyone would like to know what started this fire. That's a question that I'm sure everybody has. But we don't know that. And the fire marshal told you that in approximately only 50% of fires can a cause be determined. And in this case, unfortunately, it could not. She's not charged with starting the fire. You don't have to determine what started the fire. What you have to determine is if she acted wantonly by leaving her kids there alone and die. And the answer to that is yes. So you don't have to make a determination on what caused the fire, even though that's probably a question that you may still have. What is important in the case? They want to downplay this electrical issue. But she told the police multiple times that house had a bad electrical problem to the point that they shouldn't have been living there. She knew that, and she made the decision to leave those babies in there anyway. That house caught fire, and now they're gone because of her actions. You heard testimony from the coroner, John Mark Benson. He told you, and you've seen the death certificate of the cause of death on the children. Smoke inhalation is the cause of death. There's this whole argument where, well, the manner of death is listed as accidental. And he was very, very clear on that issue. That is not a legal conclusion. It's the same thing as if somebody drinks, drives, and kills somebody because of their driving. It's an unintentional crime, as is this one, and that is listed as accidental. That finding has nothing to do with the decision you make in this case, period. You also heard the coroner, unfortunately, have to tell how the bodies were recovered. And you saw those photos of what was left of the children because of the decision that she made. There's been a lot said, or there was a lot said in the defense closing statement about, well, if she would have gone to get diapers, if she would have gone to get this, if she would have gone to get that. That's not what this case is about. She didn't go get diapers. She didn't go get milk. She didn't have an emergency. She chose to choose herself over her kids, left her kids alone, and went to get a Lord to have. Well, what if she was in the shower when the fire broke out? What if she was sleeping? What if this? What if that? It's not what happened here. She was not in the shower. She was not asleep. She was not in the yard. She was not across the street. She got in her car, made that decision, strapped Kamari in, left the 7-month-old little girl on the couch, and left the property. Left those babies with absolutely no way to protect themselves in the case of an emergency. She wasn't in the shower. She went to sleep. She got her car, drove off the property to get a Lord to have. That's what this case is about.
I also want to go over the jury instructions with you, because opposite of the defense, I believe we have met our burden beyond a reasonable doubt.
When you get back there to the jury room, I'm going to ask you to look at the instructions and find the defendant guilty under instruction 5. Second-degree manslaughter for Kamari. And second-degree manslaughter for Canale. And I'm going to go over why we have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that she's guilty of these offenses. You will find the defendant, Kiana Bingham, guilty of second-degree manslaughter under this instruction if and only if you believe from the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt all of the following. That in this county, on or about April 7, 2020, there's no doubt that was the day that this happened, and before the finding of the indictment herein, she caused the death of Kamari Harris by leaving the child alone with no adult supervision. There's absolutely no question on that particular part of the jury instructions. She left both children alone. Because she left them alone, that caused their death. The house caught fire, they died in the fire. This is not a hard burden to meet right here. So we've met this, check it off, and move on. That in doing so, she acted wantonly, as that term is defined under instruction number 4. Let's go back to instruction number 4. Person acts wantonly with respect to a result or to a circumstance when he is aware of and consciously disregards a substantial and unjustifiable risk that result will occur or that the circumstance exists. We've talked a lot about the electrical issue. Do not forget when you go back in the jury room that she's the one that told the Kentucky State Police that the house had a bad electrical issue and no one should have been living there. Even if you don't think the electrical issue meets this burden, it's common knowledge that you cannot leave children this age at home alone because anything can happen. There was no chance of them saving themselves in the case of an emergency. Period. The risk must be of such nature and degree that disregard thereof constitutes a gross deviation from the standard of conduct that a reasonable person would observe in the situation. Would a reasonable person leave two babies at home alone unattended? No. Absolutely not. Not for 2 minutes, not for 3 minutes, not for 4 minutes, not for 5 minutes. Whatever time you think that she left the kids alone is too much. It's too much for common sense, and it's too much under these instructions. So go back to instruction 5, check off B, and you found her guilty of manslaughter in the second degree. The same argument goes for instruction number 7. So you find her guilty under those instructions and you don't have to consider the reckless homicide. It's obviously a lesser offense. So if you can't find her guilty of manslaughter in the second degree, you move on and you find her guilty of reckless. But we have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that she is guilty of manslaughter in the second degree. She chose herself over her kids. And unfortunately, those two babies died because of it. I appreciate your attention. I'm going to leave this decision to you now, asking that you find her guilty of manslaughter in the second degree. Because she is. And that's what we've proven. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sylvia Wiggins.